children go back, you can do that. Third grade and down, you guys can go. Glad that you can have ministry on your own level there a little bit. I want you to be mindful, first of all, of two things. And number one, I asked you to remember to think of a friend, and I had time, and now you've had time. So how many thought of a friend you can really, really pray about and try to get here next week? Raise them high. And that's a challenge to all of us, okay? All of you who did not get somebody in your mind, think of all these that did. Iron sharpens iron. Even so, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So we've all been a little challenged now. These guys have raised their hands, all of us. You try. I mean, you know, leave the result to God. But don't lay down on this. That's the 18th. That's 2 weeks hence. The other thing I need is I'm just going to ask Michael to make me a list. Take one of the bulletins, Michael, and put it on the back for the paintball thing. Okay, would you do that for me? Write on it, paintball. Get a pen from whoever you need to. Fine, from Charlie. I'd appreciate that. All right. When we sing on that song there, we cannot say enough about you. What can we say to describe just a glimpse of your glory? Well, I've got a story I want to tell you before I get to the message. I was asked this past week to go see a guy, a young man named Josh. Josh was somebody who had been told to contact me because he had a lot of questions. Becky works at the Richland Pregnancy Services. One of the gals that works with her knows Josh. Josh is a seeker. And Josh was going to potentially contact me. Never did, but I got a word last week that Josh was in a serious car accident. 27-year-old young man. He was in the military, had been serving in Iraq at one point. He was in a head-on car accident. Life flighted from Coshocton, which is south of Columbus, up to Akron. And he was a young man who had been away from God for quite some time. And when I got to him, I did not know whether he was a saved guy or not. But when I say, how can I describe just a glimpse of his glory, I saw one yesterday when I went to see him in the hospital. Because here was a young man, 27 years of age. He was away. I was talking to his dad for a few minutes before he was brought back from physical therapy. And what ended up happening was I finally began, I said, hi, I'm Pastor Dave. He said he knew Becky, and I said, yeah. I said, how you doing? And he looked at me and he said, well, a little banged up, but pretty good, you know, overall. And I said, big deal, pretty bumpy couple of days, huh? He said, yeah. I said, well, let me ask you a question, Josh. I said to him, I said, Josh, if that would have been the end of the chapter, if that would have been the end of the story, if you would have been catapulted out of here, I said, do you know that you would have been in heaven? And I kid you not, a 27-year-old soldier looked at me and he just broke and began to weep. No. And I'm not trying to fabricate this and I'm trying to give you what I saw, but his tears just began to fall and his face began to contort and he said, no, I don't know. And he was afraid. And I began to see in him right away, here's a kid whose young man's heart is just completely melted in the presence of Almighty God, almost dead. No security whatsoever in his heart about his salvation. And I began to talk to him, and he had gone through church much of his childhood and heard this, that, and the other, and there were mitigating and aggravating circumstances, things that kept him from coming to Christ, things that made him come to Christ, the greatest of which was a great message he heard once when he was about 17 years of age, and where he had actually trusted Jesus as his Savior, put his faith completely in him. But I asked him, I didn't know where he was yet, I still didn't know, I didn't know he was saved, and I said, Josh, I said, let's just say you're out there, you're a vet, right? He said, yeah. I said, if you were out there and you were in some foxhole and there were shells going off and a guy was sitting next to you and he looked over and he said, Josh, I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. I said, what would you tell him? What would you have told him? From what you've been in church, you've been reading your Bible, this is a kid who, when he was being life-flighted, he says, no, wait, while the chopper was coming, I need my Bible out of the wreckage. That's how much he was seeking God, but he wasn't in church, he wasn't walking with God yet. I said, what would you tell him? He looked at me and he said, I would tell him you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. You've got to believe he just died and took all your sin payment on himself. I mean, this kid knew the gospel. And he's just crying as he's saying this. I mean, every time I touch a nerve about the salvation that Christ has wrought, you know what that is? That's a glimpse of his glory. He said to me, he said this, he said, I had been thinking about getting in back with the Lord. I had told my girlfriend one day, I said, you know, God's just going to have to give me a big jolt to get me back in, I guess, because I'm just struggling. Can we say head-on collision? You see, the fact is God hears every prayer uttered, whether in rashness or whatever. But I was able, listen to me, I was able to sit there and tell him how the Bible says that God will, he that cometh unto God, he will in no way cast out. And I began to tell him verses that says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ, which we have in Christ Jesus? What love of God, which we have in Christ Jesus? I began to tell him, there's therefore now no condemnation. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And once you're born, you can't be unborn. I began to tell him verse after verse, and he just began to melt. He was getting it. He was like, oh, it was like breathing. Because here was a 17-year-old boy who got saved, meant business with God, went into the military, found himself out of his element, freaking out inside of himself, not knowing which way was up, and he's looking to the left and to the right, and there's nothing but other guys who are base and who are just as afraid as he is, and all of them got their game on, and all of them acting manly and cool and doing all the wrong things, and he's out of his element, no accountability, and he falls into the groove of his pre-17-year-old conversion and feels like God forgot him, or he forgot God, he didn't know which, but in the end analysis, God was chasing him. And I was able to tell him one of my favorite verses, which is my own favorite verse, 1 John 3:9, that says, he that is born of God can't go on in sin, for his seed remains in him. And this guy's just melting. God, I'm so glad you came back. I just needed this. I needed this so bad. And it took an accident head-on for a 27-year-old young man, a hero at war, to be able to lay there and look up in the eyes of a pastor and say, that's what I need. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 that if people don't add to their faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, and patience, and brotherly kindness, and love, that they can become short-sighted, and even unto blindness, forgetting that they are washed from their sins. Did you hear that? Forgetting. Not that they weren't. Not losing that they were washed, but forgetting that they were washed. Read it. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. These are words of life. This past week, on Thursday, we had prayer. We came together. Many of us fasted and prayed, and I appreciate those of you who responded to the call machine, because it told me that many of you were fasting and couldn't make it. We had several of our people fasting in prayer for the fasting day, for the National Day of Prayer, and we came together and we saw some of the clips from the Washington, D.C. thing. It was a webcast. We put them up on the video screen. We heard some challenges, and I was reminded again that we need to be praying. We need to be specific. We need to be people who are people of prayer in a dark day. We are in a dark day. Talked about it last week, didn't we? Talked about the prayer that is heard, and we saw in Psalm 28, that God has a prayer that will be heard. That when we cry out to God, when we won't be deterred, and we say, I must hear from you, God will show up, God will answer, not only will it illuminate our minds and see that we are okay and it's going to be okay, but He might even give us a little revelation about how good things are going to get. You know what? For the believer, the best is yet to come. We've got a lot of good stuff right now. We had a good time last night. I appreciate Mark and Becky. They kind of got together and said for the Awanic group that was working in the Awanic club, and the Awana leadership, we went down to Dave and Buster's and had fun, and I watched people do goofy things that were there, and I'm not going to tell. Well, maybe I will. No, I won't tell. But it was fun. It was fun. There were games, and everybody was having a good time, and we just had really a good time, and there's a lot of neat things we can enjoy down here, but you know, it all pales compared to what's coming. We're going to be in glory. It's going to be bliss forever. How cool is that? I mean, yeah, it's hard sometimes down here, but if you know your Bible, you know that no matter how dark it gets, God is still just on the other side. And He's waiting to receive us unto Himself. It's an exciting world we live in. It's an exciting time. It's getting down to the point of just really all coming apart, it seems. Things are happening. Dobson said in a podcast from the Washington, D.C. prayer gathering, was he said, you know, we have been so blessed in this country because God has not ceased to be providing us with, throughout the decades, throughout the centuries, strong leadership, strong leadership. You know, it's not easy to come up with a guy who can really run stuff. It's not easy to come up with a guy who's got real character, who really can speak the way and stand right and do right and be right and lead a country into the way they ought to go. It's hard to find them. They're few and far between. I am 40, How old am I? 47? I'm 47 years old now, and it's old. Who said that? Ushers, please, right down here. Escort him out. And so I'm 47, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm old enough to be president. Can you imagine the camera in your face every day? You get up, you go out to take a jog. You get up, you go out. You go out to get the paper, or people bring something. Or you go out the door, you get on the plane, they're looking at you, you trip, everybody falls. Man, I was in high school one time. I was in high school, I was walking down the hallway, and that was back in the day of the platform shoes. How many of you remember platform shoes? Come on. All right, just a handful of us. And I hit the ground wrong, and I fell. And I'm up real quick, and I'm looking, anybody see that? You know, if you're the president, you fall down, they all see it. What I'm saying is, it's hard.